United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries. In becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success, this young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than a million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over a million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the United States. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from the ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s in response to the earnest and sincere invitation of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwestern United States were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus, she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 US dollars to organizations aiding the victims. contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Ching Hai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Ching Hai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Ching Hai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the United States, from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states, from the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters. All are recipients of Supreme Master Ching Hai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Ching Hai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Ching Hai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace.
We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Colorado, USA, on April 10, 1993, entitled, Enlightenment is the Key Answer to Everything.
Since ancient times, we have always heard many stories about how fantastic a master is, and just like Jesus, he is great, fantastic, he can do many things, and we admire him. But he should not be the only one in this position, because it is said in the Bible that know you not that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. We house God. You understand that? We house the Almighty within ourselves. And here we are having nothing of this Almighty glory. It is because we face the other way. We face the shadow, we chase after the shadow and try to correct the shadow to suit our taste, that the legs were too long, the head was too flat, or the ears too pointed. It was because of the light which projected the real and make it become a shadow. And if we chase that all the time and trying to make it different, of course we make trouble for ourselves, we exhausted our energy and we achieve nothing. We might be able to adjust a little bit here, a little bit there, but this is only a shadow, right? Tomorrow it will become, the ear will be pointed again. Therefore, in order to truly enjoy it, we have to know the real one and adjust accordingly. If you know the beautiful girl standing where she stands, then you can even make the shadow become more beautiful, if you wish. See, you can make the light behind her go a little bit above or under, and then her shadow will become very much like the real person. Do some technique to adjust the shadow. But if we do not know the real and trying to adjust the shadow from the shadow self, then we always have problem. That is the problem with the world. That's why our world always in trouble. Because we try to correct the shadow and not the real object. And so many heroes have come and go. So many great kings have reigned the world. But the world is still the way it is. If you have fixed some problem here, other problems will breed itself elsewhere. If you have enough medical care for the people, now you have incurable disease, like AIDS, for example, troublesome. And so we never come to an end without problem if we always try to fix the world. I have known one person. He's very much interested in our teaching and wanted initiation in that. But he told me that he would like to stay in the world, to remain the worldly, as worldly people in order to understand their problem and in order to help them. Many of the heroes of our history have thought the same thing. And the world has not become a paradise. Even though we have a lot of better equipment, more civilized society, but then we have other more troublesome problems. So, you see, our brothers and sisters, what the conclusion should be. It's not that after enlightenment we forsake our political career. Understand? Or leave Mr. Clinton alone in White House and all the ads will go out because they're all enlightened. But we stay there and we do better job because we know how to adjust the shadow now. Or we don't bother at all to adjust the shadow anymore. Whatever the shadow may be, fine, because we know it's not important. We may feel amazed at the shadow of it changing shape and size and color of different time of the day. We might watch it with amazement, but we no longer chase after that, and we no longer put great importance upon this shadow. That's why everyone should be enlightened, and the world is in peace, at peace. No other thing need to be done. I don't know if you agree. Yes or no? I tell you from example, not sheer talk. See, for example, now you look at me, I'm wearing beautiful clothes, yeah? Yeah. Actually, I design myself, and I have a seamstress, which are monks and nuns together. You know, I mean, we are those who live together and do not have family ties in that. So we work everything together without wanting any wages or any position anyhow. So now it's very inexpensive anyhow, but it looks beautiful, right? So now I'm happy because I'm beautiful, fine. But when I'm alone, and I have not to see you in such a great event, an important greeting like this, then I just wear whatever it is, right? A very old clothes, very comfortable, and old shoes, flat. And I don't even care to wash it very carefully, because I would just pitch my tent next to the river. I put my clothes in a bucket and some soap in it, river water, and I use my feet to stamp on it. And while I clean my teeth at the same time, yeah, and I use my feet to just, you know, walking on the bucket, walking on the clothes after a while, and I let it be in the sun for a while, and then after I clean my teeth, or I bath, and I swim, and then I just shake it loose, yeah? and get the river water to clean it, and then I throw them on the rocks, and after some time they are dry. And that's a life of beautiful enjoyment that I most cherish. But nevertheless, when I go out, I stay in sometimes hotel, and sometimes stay in a very beautiful mansion, which some of the disciples lend us for a few days. And I also enjoy that. You see, I also enjoy the freshly cut lawn and the beauty of the flowers that you plant around your gardens, and every so-called luxurious thing that you have. I enjoy, yes. Therefore, enlightenment affords us the enjoyment, not the situation. So I enjoy in both cases. I do not deny luxury, and I do not cling to asceticism, because both has its beauty. Whatever it is there, you accept it. And that is the simple life. Some people ask me, simple life means go into the forest and live in caves and eating weeds and all that. I say, no. Simple life means you stay where you are, enjoy whatever you have. If you are rich, you enjoy your rich life and share whatever left over too much with other people. If you are poor, enjoy your simple life and be happy that you don't have to worry about thieves. And that is simple living, you see, simple living. Yeah. Stay where you are, enjoy what you have. That is, in my in my thinking, a simple living. Do you think that's all right? Yeah. Because if we try to change our life, it makes it not simple, right? You are so used to with clean bathroom and all that, and now you have to furnish yourself and adjust yourself to a kind of outside open toilet, and it freezes in the winter. And maybe you are not used to with the cold. You get cold, and you get sick. And then is that simple? No. Then you have to be administered in the hospital, and all the needles in your tongue, in your knees, and wherever necessary. And that looks very complicated indeed, at least from the outside. Therefore, simple living means you're comfortable where you are. But of course, there's something we adjust, you see, to life. For example, if we meditate a lot, then we cannot afford to eat meat too much, because that excites our energy, stimulate the passion, and we would like to sit still in order to know our own treasure and wisdom. Therefore, if we do not follow simple diet, then it will have some side effect. Therefore, some people meditate at random and do not adhere to the vegetarian diet, they came into a kind of a disturbance. You see, many people have a mental derangement. It is because of violation the law of nature. The law of nature teach us to be vegetarian. You know all of this. And I think in the sample booklet that you were given, it's already proved scientifically that we humans are vegetarian species, because our teeth and our intestine are made for vegetarian beings. Yes. And the meat eaters beings are different in body construction and the inner organs and the digestive system are all different. Anyhow, I'll be long about enlightenment and short about diet. Because in case you are allergic to vegetarian diet, I won't mention anymore. But be enlightened anyhow, by all means, and by whatever you can afford in your environment and in your mental state of preparation. There are many ways to enlightenment, but there are best way, quickest way, or longest way. Yeah, safer way or a little bit risky way. Just like you climb the mountains, there are many roads, but some roads are even, and some roads are more rocky, and some roads are dangerous. So I have found that the Guan Yin method, the method of observing the inner world, the inner sound, and the inner heavenly light, is the best. And it's the ultimate, because ultimately we have to arrive to the light of God and to the word of God in order to get the wisdom. All other roads are leading you to that state that you could hear the sound of God and could see the light. All other methods are having this same goal. But we are right here, the teaching directly, and you immediately experience the enlightenment taste, you see, immediately. So you get the light and the sound right away at the time of initiation. Whereby other methods you have take a long time, or many years, or many ascetic kind of sacrifice in order to arrive there. Therefore, actually, this is not a method. It's just a fruit and a meal already prepared for you. Hunger, guess. The other, maybe they are not hungry, so they try to mess around with their food or cooking all the time and not eating it. Many of our people who stay permanently in many of our centers around the world, their life is very simple, but they are very happy. Our life is so simple that when compared to the most simple lifestyle in other countries, there seems pale. I live simple life, I don't earn money for myself. All the money are run around the world for the sake of my disciples, for the enlightenment of others, and for the poor and needy. And even my clothes I design for myself, so it's cheaper. Therefore, it's not what we should have in life, but to what degree we are contented with life. If we are contented, under any circumstance, we are all right. So, the problem is not to change anything of this world, but to change ourselves, you see? I would have complained before, without enlightenment, I would have complained. I would have loved to have my beautiful house, my lovely husband, and my whatever, mine. You understand? And I can't just sacrifice like that. But by the way, doing this, I do not even feel sacrifice. Just very natural. Very natural, very happy to do it. Therefore, if the people in any poor country or in whatever situation, if they get enlightenment, they would not feel suffering. Some of our disciples are relieved from even the most dangerous sickness after initiation or after they practice for a while. Yes, it depends on also their sincerity and karma. And some of them have to undergo sometimes this retribution, but they go with smile on their face. Yesterday, while I was in Seattle, even one of the women told me she had to undergo operation. But then she has prepared herself already to go to play in heaven while the body is undergoing operation. She told me, fine. I know already. I will go and let the doctor inject me, and then meanwhile I go to Buddha's land, have a look around. Yes, that's what she did. And she had no fear whatsoever. Yeah, yesterday some of you have heard it. Any of you from Seattle yesterday? Yes, you have heard this, huh? Yeah, there was a Vietnamese lady. She's about my age, maybe younger, but don't make me feel very old. Yes, and that's what they do. And sometimes some of our fellow practitioners, their lives are not rich, like you, perhaps. In Taiwan, they drive taxi, okay, the taxi driver. But while driving the taxi, they can see Buddha's land, or heaven, kingdom of God at the same time. Therefore, their life passed very quickly, and whatever they do it in joy. Therefore, you enjoy the real life and the shadow of the real life, because both will blend together. There's no separation, no rejection of any kind. When I was in Indonesia or some other country, some people say, oh, you look beautiful. Do you consider to remarry?
Yeah.
Ask me, yeah? What do you think? Do I have time for that? So my disciples everywhere are enough to scare the biggest hero on earth. They'll run away, you know. When you are at home and you have only one husband and wife, and if the third person comes, you already feel very scary, right? Very frightened that your love will be shared. How much more if they see my disciples? They hang around 24 hours, they eat everything with me, and they interfere with all kind of privacy, except when I'm in the bathroom. My door is never be able to lock, always coming up and down. My room is just like a restaurant. So whoever dare to be my husband should prepare for war. So that's the life it is. You see, whether you have or you don't have, is a fine. It's very fine with you because you are contented within yourself. You do not reject life, but you do not sink into life deeply so that you know nothing else except the material existence of life. And that's the beauty of enlightenment. All right, I'm ready for your questions. Because there will be more talk, by the way. You can ask anything. Yeah? And I'm free to answer or not, so don't worry. This is very good atmosphere today, huh? Right? Yes, for the first time, and then you can laugh so much. I think we don't charge the lecture with money, but we charge the laughter. Because it's very rare.
In the Bible, Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one.
Yeah.
But how can I reach this state?
Get enlightenment. Yeah? Get initiation. Yeah. That's what we are here for, to help you.
Dear Master, I never eat vegetarian. However, when I listen to your video and read magazines, your magazine, I start to eat vegetarian once or twice a month.
Wow.
Can I meditate?
Big deal.
If yes, is there any danger?
Fine, it's already a big improvement. Yeah? From 30 days to 28 days. Yes, you can ask our disciple in the information desk outside to teach you some convenient method, yeah, which some basic step for meditation, and you can get enlightenment also, but different degree, huh? The price is different.
Dear Master, how to live a happy life?
Didn't I tell you? Trouble with the ears? They're laughing at you, see? Never mind. To get enlightenment is a sure way of a happy life, okay? I'm very patient.
Could you please explain your precept against killing, specifically against abortion?
Wow, you get me into trouble. Thou shalt not kill is the precept of all religious scriptures. Not only Christian, it's even in Jainism, Hinduism, and other religion also. If they truly take this, thou shalt not kill, in the true sense of the precept. Abortion, of course, should be avoided. And the doctor should be very precise in determining what is the special situation that people should undertake this, because maybe sometimes it's dangerous for the mother, yeah, or dangerous for both. So the doctor should be fair in determining that situation. Otherwise, I think we should save life in any way we can. Whatever special circumstance with you, that you have to answer yourself conscience and the doctor has to determine that. Okay? I am not here to condemn anyone because I know life is very hard and very difficult to say which is right and which is wrong, because we also are under the sway of karma, of the law of cause and retribution. And therefore, sometimes it's very difficult for a person to go above that, to be saintly, and to be decisive about anything in life. But bear in mind that if we have faith in God and in all our wisdom, and if we are enlightened, no circumstance is difficult. No situation is hard to handle. So I just propose enlightenment and no condemnation for anything.
Is it okay to receive initiation with more than one master?
It's okay, but why is it necessary? For example, if your master has already taught you the light and sound within you, and you are satisfied and you're making progress with that path, then you don't have to be initiated by another master who teaches the same method. But nevertheless, if you're not completely satisfied, I mean, you are more convinced in some other master, of course you may do so.
Jesus ate fish, why do you not?
You always put fish in Jesus' mouth. All right, suppose he eat fish. He is Christ. He can do many other things that you cannot do. Why you look at the piece of fish only and not at his quality and his holiness? As soon as you become holy as he is and powerful as he is, you can eat human being, okay? If you're that desperate for meat. Oh, God. We always compare the things that other people do to suit our taste, but we do not respect their quality and their talent. Yeah? We have to know what we have and other people have. And then we can say what we can do or not. The president, he can stay in the White House. He has a lot of bodyguards. He has power over the whole nation. So something he can do, we cannot. Okay? Right?
Are pain and illness always a result of present karma? If so, how do we clean it out?
We clean it out by, I would say, enduring it. All right? Because it's already too late now to reverse the will of karma. But we could minimize it. We could lubricate it by being enlightened, by meditation on the perfection of the Father every day through the guidance of a teacher through initiation. Then we minimize a lot of things. Yeah?
Do you feel this initiation is important? Why can it not be done on our own?
The question answers itself. If you have done it yourself, then it's not necessary to get an initiation. But if you couldn't have done it, if you have not seen the light of God and the sound of heaven, then initiation is necessary. Besides, there are many steps to heaven that you must know verbally, the instruction, and so many pitfalls that you should avoid. And if you do not know that, it wastes a lot of time and sometimes dangerous.
Who was your Himalayan master and of what lineage?
I think I told about that already in some of the tapes. You go and have a look, okay? Now I am here and you keep asking about my master all the time. I'm jealous. I'm so beautiful and you don't care about me.
You have an old man with wrinkled eyes and cranky in mood and don't talk to no one and don't accept disciple.
Master, specifically, what is the difference between enlightenment and the power to initiate? And which one did the patriarchs of the Bible have?
The power to initiate came first. You will have the power of initiation also if you are appointed by the Master, because the Master will initiate through you. And also you have the power, the true power, the perfect power, not the borrowed one, when you became a Master, when you reached the fifth plane of consciousness, then you became Christ or Buddha. Yeah, at that time you can initiate. But enlightenment is a part of it, part of the power, and you will expand this and get to know more of your greatness, more and more, until you realize your complete self, and that is the time you know God, and that's the time you be able to initiate people.
Dear Master, is it right that we have to be at or beyond the second level of spiritual practice to have a samadhi experience?
No, it's not true. It's just that deeper or shallower samadhi. If you see the light or hear the sound, that means you're already in samadhi. It's just a little bit not very deep. And sometimes you are in very deep samadhi, and you sit there and only aware of the inside. And sometimes aware of both, inside and outside.
If initiated, can one practice meditation an hour in the morning, half hour in the middle of the day, and an hour at night? Does one have to meditate 2.5 hours a day?
No. You can separate it. And you can do it on the bus, in the park, on airplane, on the train, etc., to make up for the hours that you need.
Please explain the reason for not eating or using eggs, and how do eggs represent life and death?
Eggs is a symbol of life and death. In it contains life. And many of the black magician or white magician, they use egg to withdraw some of the negative possessive spirit within some people. Therefore, if we eat egg too much, we tend to attract this negative force toward ourselves. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we should not eat eggs.
Do you have homosexual disciples?
Yes. Do I have to report to you? They're private business. Homosexuality is just a misconception about their awareness. They misunderstand their body's function. And when they became enlightened, this will be less and less, because they will identify themselves less with the body but more with the spirit. Therefore, it's nothing wrong with that. Yeah? When the children are very young, they play with plastic models and they cling to their teddy bears. But when they grow up, they will leave them. So do not worry about your misidentification with your body or with your birth appearance. It's all right. Just get enlightenment and everything will fix itself in due course.
you for your lovely company on today's Words of Wisdom. Please tune in again tomorrow for the conclusion of Enlightenment is a Key Answer to Everything. Coming up next on Supreme Master Television, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, right after Noteworthy News. We wish you a blessed and joyous day.